IT security role is becoming larger, or IT role is becoming much larger, and that now it appears you've got the analogy I like to use is the difference between the highways versus the difference between a car. So there's safety in a vehicle. That's the manufacturer's responsibility. And then there's the safety of building the roads properly, which is the Department of Transportation's responsibility.
Hmm.
And so if you think of IT security, which my role is to protect IT assets that are getting onto that information highway called cyberspace. And so what, you know, we've interchanged the terminology partly, but we haven't necessarily changed the roles and responsibilities of the individual. So does, if we are in cybersecurity, does that mean the CIO has the same amount of responsibility to protect the information highway as he does protecting the information assets?
And so what should CIOs, chief information security officers, in fact, in general, I think sometimes we tend to lop security over with other people, and really this is a responsibility for all of us because we all use the internet.
Absolutely. And I think the importance is making sure that people don't lose focus of the daily blocking and tackling that we need to do, meaning keeping your antivirus system and your patch system at the right levels, and making sure that your antivirus system is on to begin with. There are some really nasty worms and viruses that will actually turn off your security software. So, you know, there are a lot of things that the public and our citizens need to be aware of, and not lose sight of the basic IT security protocols.
And so when you talked about the difference between information security and cybersecurity, really what you were hoping to get across was, guess what? A, we're all involved in this. This is important for everybody to think about, but also that it's, that there are basics that we need to pay attention to. And we tend to be talking about this cyber war stuff that's really beyond what a Joe Blow average person can deal with.
That's part of it. I mean, I think that the individuals, if your computer is not secure, your computer, your personal computer at home, can be used to launch an attack against your own government. And I don't think a lot of people are aware of that.
Yeah.
And it's critical that people recognize that component and the part that they might inadvertently be playing. So it is important that people understand what cyber warfare is. But the average citizen is probably thinking more about making sure they don't have identity theft and some other things. So, and that's why I think there is this distinction between cybersecurity and IT security.
And it's interesting because I know there was this sort of ongoing debate about is cyber war, does this all this kind of language help us or end up hurting us? But my also sense is that, you know, there's also this ongoing debate about whether we should have ongoing testing of or do the continuous monitoring versus sort of the FISMA, do the annual approach. It seems that almost we need to do both of those things, don't we?
We absolutely do. You can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So what FISMA, the Federal Information Security Management Act, allows us to do is baseline our assets, meaning we understand, we get an inventory of what we have, and then we figure out what we need to do to protect those assets. But the most important part is that last step, and that's the continuous monitoring. So I think you have to do both of them, Chris. You're absolutely right. So,
and it feels a little bit like FISMA, the annual FISMA, your annual checkup, going in, and that checks you from what you need to work on, all those kinds of things. But continuous monitoring, you need to know today what you need, what is working and what isn't working, to the greatest extent possible.
Right, and I think, to be honest with you, that annual check that you do, we might want to think about our critical systems, our really, really super important systems, that they get looked at more frequently than just annually, and that you do some sort of a, you know, heartbeat check halfway through the year to make sure you're like a physical, your annual medical physical, that, you know, you don't have a little carotid artery syndrome going on there. So I think it's important to do the annual, but in some instances, you may want to pay closer attention to those really critical systems housing the most sensitive data. And perhaps if we do that, we might be able to start lowering some of these data leaks and losses.
Let me ask you, because I've always been fascinated. Everyone says, you know, getting the patches out. That's one of the core things you can do to ensure that all your systems, all your applications are as secure as they possibly can be. That seems to be, and I continually hear, that's very, very difficult to do. And I, as the dumb guy, sit back and say, hold on, why is that so difficult? Why is that difficult to get patches out?
Well, a lot of it stems on legacy systems. And the other part is, you know, we need to start driving the vendor community and the software manufacturers to actually test these patches before they go out and make sure that they're going to integrate into the version of software that you have. So that's really part of the problem. So you've got a major application built on a version of software, and the testing that you have to do, maybe you're not on the latest, greatest version, and they push out a new patch that's been tested on the latest, greatest version, and you have to do regression testing or testing it backward to try to figure out if it's going to break your application. So it's kind of a give and take where the vendor community and the manufacturing community and the software community needs to work in partnership with those organizations that have purchased their products. So it can be very difficult. When you're talking about your basic desktop patches, that is a little bit more of a simplified viewpoint. But when you're talking major server farms, major database applications that might still be running on COBOL, I know you don't hear that very often.
They're still out there, aren't they?
They are. But when you're looking at some of these applications that you're running or operating systems, there's got to be better testing on older versions so that people that aren't buying the latest, greatest versions are still protected. And I think that's part of the problem and why it gets to be a little bit more onerous for some organizations.
Now, with a lot of things moving into the clouds, a lot of applications moving into the cloud, does that make security easier or more complex?
Well, I guess it kind of depends. So if you're talking about moving into a commercially provided cloud, it makes it more complex for a government entity. When you're talking about moving into a private cloud or moving into a government-only cloud, then I think you're looking at that complexity starting to dwindle and the security concerns dwindling. As long as we've done a good job looking at the security components and everybody understands the risk, I think that you can actually gain a lot by moving into a federal cloud for our federal customers, or in some instances, a commercial cloud. It's giving you a different level of security for some organizations that they've never had before.
Yeah, well, and I know a lot of email applications moving into the cloud, and part of the initial concern was, oh my goodness, are we putting security at risk? But I've heard some security folks say, hey, this might actually improve security across systems.
Well, and I think there's another piece to it. It's not just email. It's our people. Do people understand how to protect the attachments in the email? Most emails are pretty benign. You know, there's not a lot of sensitive information in them. It's the attachments that go along with it. So maybe I'm attaching an architectural design with internet protocols and locations and some sensitive information. What people need to do is they need to apply data rights management or some sort of security protocol to that attachment to protect it. And then it wouldn't matter where it goes. It's appropriately protected. It might even be encrypted. So there's a lot of positive, things. There's also some major cultural shifts that have got to happen. And that's where the users need to understand data protection and the tools have to be given to them. So that's really, I think, another key area in moving to the cloud is what kind of data am I putting up there and how am I securing it while it's in that cloud? If it's encrypted and the only way you can get to it is by downloading it to your protected device, I think you're gaining a lot of security by moving to the cloud.
Yeah. Well, one of the challenges out there is, and I just saw a report where folks increasingly worried about this insider threat, and of course the WikiLeaks thing sort of hangs out there in the distance, where we believe that this was came from the inside and when it wasn't somebody hacking into a system. And that still seems like a very, people inside your perimeter, these are people that you trust. Dealing with that still seems to be a fairly significant challenge.
Well, again, if you're if you've got a good access management program in place where you're looking at who's accessing the data, and if you've got the keys to the kingdom, you better be monitoring who's accessing it so that the wrong person that might not have the need to know what that data is isn't accessing it. So looking at tiering the application access allows people, only those people with the right rights, to get all of the data, but it still allows some level of view to people who should only have a limited view. So in other words, in a financial system, you want people to be able to put information into their section of the database, but they don't need to know all the data in the database. That's the CFO's job.
Yeah.
So I think that's
the right information to the right people at the right time.
Exactly. So if the WikiLeaks incident happened, was the appropriate, and it probably was, and this was just an individual doing some nefarious activity, you know, you're never going to be able to have 100% unless you completely restrict the data. And that's not really going to be effective for a lot of organizations.